and thank you so much for joining us once again for another episode of What Page Are You On? It me, your good friend from the internet, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my buddy and business partner. Who are you?
It me, Smoking Tofu, aka Alice from and the internet.
We haven't recorded an episode like this for a little while because we were very lucky to be able to talk to a couple of people for interviews for the last couple of episodes. And if you haven't listened to those, I would strongly recommend listening to them. We're delighted every time we get to talk to someone.
Agreed. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, but I'm happy that we're back here.
Back on the horse.
Yeah, back into the swing of our usual bullshit. Would you like to tell us about this episode? It's a high concept episode.
we've gone high concept. We're going to talk about three books that all basically have a titular thing in common.
Yes.
But in reading them, they have some similarities anyway. So we thought that it would be an episode that maybe had less connections between each book. But
yeah,
actually turns out, once again, we fucking nailed it. And they have some similarities.
We are just so smart. So the concept for this episode is the recent flurry. It was because I noticed a trend. It was more that I found it very hard to tell books apart, because there were three books released in the past year or so that were all named after citrus fruits and were all written by women. So there was Tangerine, there was Blood Orange, and there was Bitter Orange. We're going to begin with Blood Orange by Harriet Tice.
So Blood Orange came on my radar because I went for a dinner with Leslie Naker Arama, who wrote
What It Means When a Man Falls from the Sky.
Yeah, that's it. And someone at the table recommended it to me. And so I was on the lookout ever since. So I was jazzed. I kind of compared it to Lullaby, which I don't think is really accurate.
In zero way. No. Is that accurate? That's such a weird thing to do.
Yeah. I think it was just as exciting thriller from a woman. But there are lots of exciting thrillers written by women. I don't think that Blood Orange and Lullaby necessarily sit hand in hand. But she also compared it to Apple Tree Yard.
Which is, it's much closer to in lots of ways.
So how would you summarise Blood Orange plot-wise? It's one of those books where I worry about accidentally giving a spoiler, trying to just give a nutshell of the plot.
Yeah, because all three books that we're going to talk about are kind of thrillery. So we will be careful not to spoiler. We'll try and be careful not to spoil it. But so Blood Orange is about a barrister called Alison, who, in the way of many ladies in thrillers, is a little bit of a gentle mess.
low-key
mess, and non-threatening mess, but has a husband and child at home. And she is working on her first murder case.
Yeah, so she's she's not a partner or anything. She's a fully fledged barrister, but not the most senior person in her firm. And she's a big turning point in her career is that she gets given her first murder to work on.
And the person, the lawyer that referred, I don't know what the correct terminology is, but referred this case to her, is a guy that she is having an affair with.
So we do love an affair.
We love an affair. I literally, as we well know, I love fake art and I love affairs.
And there's no fake art in this, but
there is an affair.
Apart from the art of the law.
Indeed. So the case that she is defending in court is a woman who is accused of killing her abusive husband.
Not quite. The case is a woman who murdered her husband. And from the get-go, I was it was me.
I did it, yeah.
Job done. Don't worry about it.
Case closed, yeah.
Brilliant. So they start, in unpicking the case, they established very quickly he was abusive. So they assume that it's from a place of trauma, that she is just very detached and saying,
I did it.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
No need. We'll just...
And then throughout the... As the kind of book goes on, the barrister starts receiving text messages that imply that somebody knows she's having an affair and that she's being watched. So in a nutshell, that's the plot of the book, would you say?
Yeah, that's it.
How did you feel about this book?
I would give it three oranges out of five oranges.
We didn't even need to agree on this as a metric. I'm very glad. Yeah, I'm very glad that you went for that without me telling you that I thought of that while on the toilet earlier.
Did you? Yes. No way.
Yeah.
Just fell about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 oranges out of 5 for me.
Yeah.
It was very readable. I had a good time with it. The ending was completely... It was so wild, I told my husband in with glee. And he, like, comedy, like, did a spit take with his cup of coffee. It was a lot.
Yeah, it has a very... it does have a very strange ending, and not in a Sarah Pimbra behind her eyes strange ending.
No, but did you know that the ending... That whole situation is like a meme.
You told me about this.
Yeah, so my husband was like, it's like having a character called Salad Fingers. Yeah. Like, if you know what that means, it's quite a comedy thing to do. If you don't know about the meme, then it's
and I still... would, I would assume that the woman who wrote this didn't know about the meme.
I assume just... not, because it's definitely written. It's quite, you know, it's got a poker face. And yeah. It's not written to be funny.
And you read it very quickly, didn't you?
Yeah.
I also read it. Yeah. We both read it in like 2 days, which, you know, it's not like it's a novella. I mean, it's not like War and Peace, but it's not, you know.
No, I just found like I couldn't like leave it alone. Like, it's very unusual for me to read stuff on my Kindle. But we had a bit of difficulty getting hold of this book when we wanted to record the episode. And then there would just happen to be like a 99p sale. So I nabbed it then. And I hadn't read a Kindle book for a couple of years, maybe, like a long time. And I loved it. Like, in bed late at night, I just like, oh, I'll just read a little chapter of me thriller.
Another little 5%.
Yeah, exactly. Like, watching that little ticker grow. Yeah. And it felt like the kind of perfect way to read that book. Because it's very, it is very absorbing. Like, I was very gripped by it.
I read it really quickly. I found it very fun. But it just was, and we try to err on the positive on this podcast.
Always.
And I read it in 2 days, which means I thoroughly enjoyed reading it. But it is also, I think we should admit, highly derivative in lots of ways. Like, it is, and maybe we talked about this before, off the record, in the pub or whatever, but it did make me wonder a bit if we have kind of reached saturation point with the number of plots that you can do in a thriller. If we've just read so many kind of domestic noirs written by white ladies, and I'm a very, as I have repeatedly said on this podcast, I'm a very kind of naive reader, and I enjoy reading thrillers because I never guess what's going on. But with this, it was just very obvious to me the whole way through what at least two of the kind of key points of the book were, which is not the way that I would normally,
because her case is a subplot that kind of feeds into her thinking for like the primary plot, which is what's going on in her personal life. And yeah, I agree. I felt like, although you could never quite guess the ending could also just be a MacGuffin. Like, it doesn't really matter how it ends. Like, it plays out in the way that it does. And yeah, I agree. I feel like I really enjoyed it. I read it quickly. It's a great book to bring on holiday if you like to read thrillers in like hungry gulps while you have like lots of chill time. For that, it serves its purpose. Like, it's really well written, it's really tight.
She's really smart. Like, the author is clearly very smart, and I found all the stuff about the law very interesting.
And this is her debut, right? Yeah. And like, it's all very tightly written and very well realized.
There's a lot I like about this book. But yeah, I just was like, it didn't surprise... the plot, apart from the ending, kind of didn't surprise me in lots of ways. There are other books we could compare it to, which would be a spoiler. And at least one of them is a book that a lot of people have read. I'll tell you later.
God damn it, I was hoping that she would just, you know, off the record and then edit it out.
I don't have time to go off the record.
I got hit late because I went to see Pet Sematary, and now we're having to, like,
we're trying to reduce the amount of editing I need to do to this episode, because I need to watch Line of Duty when it's on, because if I'm even, like, 1 minute late starting it, I could be exposed to spoilers.
No, exactly. So you're really going to see behind the curtain.
Yep. I will not go off the record. We will not forget anyone's name. We will not Google anything. This is like a speed through What Page Are You On in its purest form.
And maybe that's why we're going to be a little bit more frank.
Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, I think ultimately, I think if you like thrillers, then there is nothing here to dislike. It's great.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's good. But again, I just think where we are in terms of the psychological thriller, there are a lot of things in this that we have seen before.
Yeah.
And one thing that I'm actually getting really frustrated with is female characters that have no fucking friends.
Yep.
No female friends, no one around them to offer advice or chat to.
That they confide in, that, yeah.
I feel like it's getting a little bit too convenient. I'm getting a bit sick of that. When that's one of the things I like most in books is female friendships and exploring, like, platonic obsession. And obviously that this book is not about that, so it's not surprising that that's not in it. But it, just this complete absence of any kind of support network, apart from, like, one person in her office who she's not even, like, friendly with.
Yeah, it's true. But, yeah, I think it's almost like if you don't read that many thrillers, this is a perfect thriller to read. Because you won't have read the tropes that are in it before. I think it's well suited to people who do like thrillers if you want a kind of very pacey, satisfying read, but it's actually very good for people who have not read lots of thrillers, because I think plot-wise it really works. I think it's smartly written. I think it has kind of believable characters. So there's lots of ways in which I would recommend it.
I'm going to call it a little WFP.
I don't know what that means.
Wait for paperback.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, very legit. Or read it on your Kindle. I think that's the ideal format.
Yeah, just actually, yeah, yeah.
Go Kindle.
But I loved it, like a little mole rat, like staring at my screen at like midnight, just
trying to see what's going to happen next. Yeah.
Pages. Oh.
Perfect. And there is like a kind of direction the plot goes in towards the end, which is really interesting, which is to do with like kind of sexual assault allegations. And I thought that was, yeah, very kind of nuancedly handled in the way that it probably would go in real life.
Agreed.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, it's a really strange book because on the one hand, I'm like, it's quite derivative and there's a lot of stuff in it we've seen before. But on the other hand, there is so much that I would specifically kind of recommend about it. So, yeah, I would agree with you on like 3 to 3.5 oranges.
Yeah, out of five oranges in a few segments.
Yeah, maybe not a whole half an orange, but like, yeah, so yeah. One that you could do a little smile with the peel in
if
your mouth.
If it was a Terry's chocolate orange, it'd be a half orange, but not with the core. Not the middle segment.
Yeah, the best bit.
Smashed it.
Yeah. So our next citrusy title is Tangerine by Christine Mangan, which was the first of the citrus books to come out, I believe.
Yes.
I think Tangerine was the...
now out in paperback.
Yep. And the thing that drew me to this book, because I am a basic bitch, is that the book has a very good cover. It has the same acid green text that drew us to that kind of same colour as My Sister the Serial Killer. It's a black and white picture of a kind of attractive 50s-ish looking woman.
As in from the 1950s,
yeah.
not age-wise.
Woman in a white shirt and with big hair. And just Tangerine in this neon green font.
With like a nice teal kind of pattern, like a tiled background.
It's a good cover. And that was how it first became on my radar. But it also became on my radar because of the things that it was being, or that one would have you believe it could be compared to, which are things like Patricia Highsmith and Paul Bowles.
And Rebecca.
Oh.
Was it Rebecca?
I don't know. I didn't hear that.
Actually.
That's
on
okay.
On the cover, it's like, it compares it to Patricia Highsmith meets something else.
Interesting. Well, there was enough to kind of, you know, tickle my fancy.
Yeah,
there.
Intriguing.
But then I didn't hear enough people who read it actually kind of talk about it in a way, or I didn't really hear people that I knew read it, so I delayed reading it.
Well, it seemed like the perpetually unfinished book. Lots of people seem to have started it and then abandoned it, which is never a great sign.
Yeah. So what the book is about, it checkerboards between a woman called Alice, like
Hello.
My good friend and business partner, and a woman called Lucy, who met while at college at Bennington.
Love it.
Yes. And it's taking place mostly in Tangier, hence the name. just before Morocco gains independence. And Lucy comes to Morocco to kind of find Alice, who is now living there with her husband. And you don't really know what her motives are, what she wants.
All you know, when she arrives on Alice's doorstep, Alice was not expecting her and clearly is not delighted to see her. But there is not enough beef between them for her to want to slam the door on her face. Like, yes. She lets her in and, like, you know, fixes her a drink, but there's just a fucking weird atmosphere.
Yeah. So that is Tangerine.
What do you think? How many oranges? How many tangerines out of tangerines?
So I would give... I would say this is like a 3.5.
With the chocolatey middle or without?
Again, without, I would say.
Ditto.
I think it really picks up towards the end, but I don't know if it redeems it.
It's just very long.
I didn't fully because I listened to this as an audiobook rather than read it. I don't think I fully understood quite how long it was. And in a lot of ways, kind of not a lot happens. It's a very strange book. It is a bit of a strange book, and I didn't dislike it, but I did. There were just bits where I was like, "Oh, come on!" Like, yeah. And do you know what? No, I'm going to give this a solid 3. I think I was trying to be more generous than I needed to be. I was almost giving it a half because it is the book where the title most directly is legitimate in terms of being a citrus fruit.
Yes. Also, because I feel like in Blood Orange, I felt like that title was
very
like
shoehorned
the
in.
The book was really trying to justify that title.
Yes.
And I didn't really need it. But it is a great title.
Blood Orange is a great title, but is largely irrelevant to the book.
Yeah.
Tangerine, great title, very relevant to the book, because that is what people from Tangier call expats in Tangier. Tangerines.
Yeah.
What did you think? You tell me.
I thought it was fine. It was very long. I wasn't able to read it late into the night as I did with Blood Orange. So I was only reading on my commute because I had a hardback. So it took me quite a long time to get through it. The main problem that I had, it flips between the two narrators, between Lucy and Alice. And their voices were just too fucking similar.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you're going to be jumping between two different characters and they're both in the first person, you need to know without any information who is speaking. Like, they need to have really distinct voices. And they didn't. And it wasn't confusing. I never felt like I didn't know where I was. But it just made it a little bit dull. It was just kind of the same note.
Yeah. Their voices are, on the page, not well distinguished. I did not have this problem because I listened to the audiobook.
Ah.
Lucy is voiced by an American actress and Alice is voiced by an English actress, which is how it is easier to follow. But in terms of the substance of what is said by each of them, a lot of the time you couldn't tell the difference.
They use the same turns of phrase, and I know that they're like close friends from university, but
they come from very different worlds.
Yeah, they come
and
from
different countries,
worlds, like, I just would have liked to have seen more work put into differentiating them as people.
Yeah. One of my other problems with this is that I think, and obviously this is a thing that is kind of semi-personal to me, but I just think if you are invoking the name of God, aka Patricia Highsmith, you really need to be bringing something quite impressive. And I don't really know on what grounds anyone decided to compare this book to Patricia Highsmith or Paul Bowles or whatever. I mean, it's set in North Africa, which is where Paul Bowles' writing largely takes place, but Patricia Highsmith, I just can't really get my head around why that was. Is it because anything with a kind of inveigling person is based on Talent to Mr. Ripley?
Well, the Goodreads reviews, because I absolutely love to read the one-star Goodreads reviews. I don't know, it's not even for a book I fucking love. I just love to see what people are finding to bitch about. And lots of the Goodreads reviews said, why read this when you can read The Talented Mr. Ripley?
Yeah.
But I have not read The Talented Mr. Ripley, so that meant nothing to me.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that you did not feel like a complete undeniable connection between Tangerine and
not
The
really,
Mr. Ripley.
No. And yeah, my other kind of beef with this book is that I felt like there were often instances where she told a story, a character would relay a story about something scary or weird or disconcerting happening, but it was like she didn't have the like courage or resources to write that herself. I felt like there any kind of darkness was like reported secondhand, whereas I want to read someone that can create that darkness.
It did have a bit of a disconnect, didn't yeah. it? And like, there's no reason why it should. It didn't have to work that way. Like, there's no reason why just because you have two different narratives in, I can't remember if it's written in the present tense, but just because you have like two different timelines and two different characters doesn't mean you can't make the stuff that happened in the past feel more immediate.
Yeah.
And it just never really felt that immediate. It always had like a kind of layer of like recollection.
Yeah.
Tinging the whole memory. So yeah, I completely agree with you on that one. Also, I'm not a fan of like very heavy handed like foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Not foreshadowing is the wrong word, but relating to like, I think they call it the accident from the very beginning.
No, I think it is the accident.
I think they specifically say accident. So you just know, you're basically waiting for fucking ages to find out the details of the accident.
The thing that happened in their past.
It's just too clunky. Like, yeah. I think you can, there was enough tension anyway that you know that there is, like, there's beef. Something's gone on. But referencing an accident so heavily from the get-go instantly makes me feel a little bit impatient.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't dangle it in front of me. Like, the tension is what's going to keep me turning the page.
Yeah.
I don't need you to spell out like there's a mystery approaching.
But I did like by the end the way that like one of the characters' intentions was very explicitly laid out.
It got very tight, didn't it? I felt like where it was lacking at the beginning, by the end it really does pick up.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, I feel like I've had various like negative responses to this book, but I think it has good stuff in it, and I think it is interesting to read something set in Tangier around the time of Moroccan independence. I liked a lot about their kind of weird kind of parasitic relationship. I thought by the end it was really good. I thought it worked really well, the ending and the way that things kind of pan out.
I'm like, The gaslighting scene.
Yeah. I loved that.
It is so good.
Yeah.
Like, I remember feeling, like, physically angry and sick reading it.
Yeah. Yeah, there are these moments that are just so kind of vivid. It's just a shame that the book isn't. Maybe if the book could be a bit shorter.
I think it needed to be a little bit tighter.
Yeah. And I would definitely read something else that this author writes. I feel like she has good, interesting ideas, and I didn't feel like they were derivative. It was almost like the opposite of my experience with Blood Orange, where with this, with Tangerine, I didn't think it was derivative, but it wasn't a page turner.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Same.
So, yeah, that's my take on Tangerine. I wouldn't not recommend it, but I don't feel like it's going to be one that everyone is like racing through.
I guess that's the thing, isn't it? Like, we wouldn't be talking about any of these books if we didn't enjoy them.
Yeah, if there wasn't something about them that we liked.
We're not in the business of like slamming books. I think it's more just that like, in recommending them, I feel like they, all three of them come with caveats.
Yeah.
And like, with Tangerine, I think one of them is, I understand why so many people didn't finish it.
Yes.
But then also, there are people whose opinions I really respect, like Savage Reads and Blair,
yeah.
I've learned this phrase, they both loved it. And I'm really glad I got to the end, because by the end, I was having an absolutely great time.
Yeah, agree. Yeah, so, like, smart, interesting people with good opinions on books like this book. It just happens that there were things that struck me as not being quite as good as they could be. But, yeah, I think it is a well-written book. It just is a bit long. That's my take on Tangerine. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on. Because this, I think the last one was both of our favs. And yeah. We probably have more to say.
So the last one is Bitter Orange by Claire Fuller. which was the second citrusy book that appeared on our radar. So that is, this is a book I actually read on honeymoon. It was one of my favourite books that I read on honeymoon. It's about a kind of lonely woman called Frances who takes a job doing a survey of the garden of an English country house that has recently been bought by a rich American man who hasn't visited it yet. And he wants to kind of know about the architectural style of the garden. And when she gets to the house, she realizes that there is someone else also living in the house who we later discover has basically been sent to do the same job as her, but for the house. And that is a man called Peter, but more importantly to the book, his wife, Cara. And she develops a kind of friendship with them both, and it grows especially close to Cara, maybe.
She has, I think, an equal but different relationship with both of them, in my opinion.
Yes.
But this book is kind of, the premise is really hinges on her first night after they have all, when she becomes aware of them, but they haven't, I think, formally met yet. She drops an earring that falls down the crack of the floorboards in her bathroom, and she discovers the floorboard is loose, pulls that up, finds the earring, and then discovers like a little telescope
spyglass
thing.
Yeah,
a little spyglass, so she can peep down into the couple's bathroom. And the book is really sold on this as like a kind of obsessive thriller, and I don't feel like it was quite that.
No, yeah, I wouldn't.
Like, of all the details, I think that little spyglass detail is not the one to sell this book on.
No.
I would have sold it more as, like, it reminded me of The Poison Tree, which, is, as we all know, is, like, one of my all-time favourite books. And, like, The Dreamers. You know these books about an outsider coming into a close...
Twosome.
Obviously, in this book, they're a married couple, those other two, they're siblings. But it's that idea of, like, you never quite being able to have an equal partnership within this new kind of unit that's created. And I love that as a premise. It's always going to blow my skirt up.
Yeah. I would give this like a solid 4 at least out of 5.
Yeah, I'd give it a comfortable 4.
A comfortable 4 bitter oranges out of 5 bitter oranges. I really like this. I really, really liked it. You know what book it kind of, bits of it reminded me of?
Tell
what
me.
Book do I just love bringing up and telling people to read?
Silence of the Lambs.
No. Skin Deep by Liz Nugent.
Oh!
Just the way Cara kind of tells her life story. growing up in rural Ireland. There was just bits of that, not overall as a book, but the bits of kind of Cara telling Frances her life story. Reminded me of Skin Deep in a way that I really liked.
Yeah, I can see that. I had no idea what book you were going to bring up then, genuinely, but I can see that.
Yeah.
I also enjoyed, I do like having a protagonist who is in her 40s and fat.
Mm.
How did you feel about the rendering of her fatness?
I felt kind of fine. Yeah. I felt fine about it. I felt kind of neutral in a way. Or it was, like, no more or less than you would expect that specific character to experience it in relation to other people.
So there were two things that stuck in my craw about her as a fat character.
Also, caveat, I read this in January.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a very short memory. So.
No. I think, like, they're both minor. One of them, I feel like I can't really discuss properly because it's a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like her fatness is relevant to a key moment in the plot. But I'm still chill with it.
Yeah.
It's fine. But the other one, and this is so minor, it doesn't matter. It's like when you know that a thin person is writing a fat character, she describes pulling on, or she wears like her mother's girdle and like this underwear that's very uncomfortable, that really cinches her in, it's really tight, and like it's a real effort to get into it, and when she's in, it's really painful. And then she like scoots onto the floor to pick up her earring. And I was like, that bitch is not moving that quickly and all that.
You're going to be immobile.
I used to wear corsets as a goth. And like, you were not getting on the floor to pull up floorboards. You know, like, you are poker straight.
Yeah.
And in a lot of pain. But so, I enjoyed it. Like, I think for a fat character, she's very well realised and created.
Yeah, I felt it was quite kind of neutral. But yeah, I loved, I felt like it was so vividly created, this kind of separate world of like this house, and nobody really comes to the house. It's just them.
Apart from the sexy priest.
The sexy priest. Yeah, I like the sexy priest. I liked her kind of having this outsider view of this world. And he's a kind of very likable character and kind of a sympathetic touch in a story where there are kind of, everyone's a little bit kind of prickly and kind of difficult.
And it is the perfect, like, long hot summer book to read. Like, they just spend all their time drinking through this cellar of booze. Because the American who's bought the house hasn't been there yet, they kind of have free rein. Like, everything that's there. There's no next of kin. Like, the old owner passed away. She's gone. There's no one to take claim of the stuff. So they're just necking all this champagne all the time. Having picnics. Swimming in the lake. It's all very, like, perfectly idyllic and then kind of unsettling.
Yeah.
Because they don't really know each other. They're only there for a month, 6 weeks.
Yeah. And it becomes kind of apparent that not everyone is telling the truth about who they are and what they have, you know,
experienced.
What they've experienced and how they've experienced it. And that is where the kind of thrillery element comes from as well.
And it definitely does have a thrillery element to it. I just remembered, like, obviously there is a turn where you discover a key fact about the narration. It's slightly not quite what you thought it was. I just feel like the spyglass as the intro to it being a thriller is not... it doesn't really give you a good idea of what the plot and the pacing is really like.
It's in a lot of ways quite similar to a Barbara Vine book called A Dark Adapted Eye, which is also set in a stately home in the summer.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which, yeah, is a very good compliment, I think, because she is very good at what she does. But yeah, I really like this. It's almost like, it's kind of in the middle of the Venn diagram between Tangerine and Blood Orange.
Yes.
That Blood Orange is like a straight up thriller. Tangerine is mostly not a thriller, but Bitter Orange is kind of thrillery, but also very character driven. And I think that's very hard to do, to write something that is largely about people and their personalities and how they kind of rub up against each other, but it's still really exciting and really engaging.
And I think, like, Frances has such a brilliant, distinctive voice.
Yeah.
Like, she's never, I always feel quite tenderly towards her. She's never kind of, she's very self-deprecating, but she's never irritating with that. Like, yeah. It doesn't feel unrealistic. It feels very believable for the person that she is.
So this kind of frumpy 40-something woman who hasn't really been allowed to, like, live her own life. She's always been dragged back to her mother and...
Yeah, she's not really been allowed to have relationships or kind of pursue even just really strong friendships. She's always been on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
And again, like, that's why I find all of her actions are just so believable.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I really like this. And it's a kind of quiet-ish book. I feel like it's not very showy, but it's really good. And I think, yeah, of the three, this is definitely the one that I would recommend the most. I definitely enjoyed this the most.
Likewise. And I did think, like, it was a nice pairing. I followed Tangerine with Bitter Orange, and they were quite a nice pairing. They are about, like, friendships that are dysfunctional and situations that you would like to escape but can't for one reason or another.
And, like, life after parental death.
Yeah,
and how
yeah.
that kind of informs the relationships that you have with people. Yeah. Though in that way, they do pair well.
Yeah, I actually thought amazingly. Perfect little trio.
Almost as if we're really smart. But maybe, would you do this again? Would you choose a theme without having read the books on the basis of nothing other than their titles?
I mean, yeah, why the fuck not,
eh? Yeah.
Normal people and ordinary people. That would be a good little combo. Yeah. Anyway, because I feel like sometimes, I think, now obviously with these books, they all came out, they were not leaning on each other. They don't have enough in common for the publishers to be trying to change titles or do cover designs. Like, they have nothing aesthetically in common whatsoever.
It was just a weird moment.
Coincidence.
Yeah.
But generally, when that happens, I feel like there is someone is trying to put their thumb on the scale.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ordinary People, I haven't read. I have no idea what it's about. But the cover design and the title.
Well, it came out first.
So. It came out beforehand, but the paperback. I don't know what the hardback cover looked like.
Yeah.
But the paperback cover next to the hardback Sally Rooney.
Interesting.
I mean, I feel like presumably it is probably coincidental, but they look very similar, don't they?
Yeah. It, you know, affects the way you receive it. Yeah.
And that doesn't always work in someone's favour. It can be a bad thing as well. You don't necessarily want to be inviting a comparison. But yeah, with these three, I don't think that was the case. It was just a fun little coinkydink that we manipulated for our advantage.
Yeah, we observed a trend and we exploited it.
Are you going to read the new Thomas Harris?
Yeah. Yeah, I will. I probably won't, like, buy it in hardback as soon as it comes out. But I will definitely read it. Why the fuck not?
I'll borrow yours.
Yeah. I'll wait for my dad to get it on Kindle. Oh, no, wait, then you can't borrow it.
Exactly. Oh, you do that on purpose just to freeze me out.
Yeah, I do. I do. I do like freezing you out and excluding you. Who's publishing it?
I can't remember.
We'll find out. Hopefully we've got a friend there. What are you reading? Or have you only been reading for this specific purpose?
I am reading a little unknown book.
Oh, no.
By a little unknown author.
I forgot that.
You definitely forgot. I am finishing No Big Deal by Bethany Rutter.
That's me.
She's gone red.
I have.
She wasn't ready. She can't edit this out.
I can't.
And then my plan was to then read Queenie today, but I have had such a busy weekend, I haven't been able to crack into it.
You will love it when it happens.
I can't wait. It's there ready for me.
Queenie by Candace Carty-Williams. Not that you needed us to tell you that, because she has been everywhere. Because Queenie is popping off, justifiably.
What are you reading?
I'm currently not reading anything, because I just... Yeah, I know. I finished the most banging book of next year. We can already call it. We can already tell you what the next most banging book of 2020 is, which is My Dark Vanessa.
Oh!
My Dark Vanessa by Kate Elizabeth Russell, former internet friend, or, you know, internet friend of the past. Yeah.
Current internet friend.
But long time internet friend of my good friend and business partner, Alice Slater.
I knew her in LiveJournal before I knew you in LiveJournal.
That's wild.
Think about that.
Yeah. I do think about that. So it's called My Dark Vanessa. It's out January 2020. It bangs. I'm handing it over to Alice to read. It's very unusual that a proof would be available this far in advance, which I think speaks to the level of hype that will be built around this book by the time it comes out.
Because it's like, I feel like there's two tiers of proof. There's the super, super early, the first one, which is really just for like literal editing purposes, which has no cover.
Bound in a floppy thing with a black ring thing.
Then there's like the cover, or an edition that has a cover. It may not be the final cover, but one that is like pretty enough to, you know, Instagram. And that is this version.
That's where we're at right now. In
so excited.
April, a full 8 months ahead of the book being released.
And hopefully we will have...
the good fortune of talking to Kate, hopefully. Yeah. Because I think this would make such a good episode. Whatever this is.
So much to discuss.
So I literally finished that like yesterday so that I could give it to you today, and I haven't started a paper book because I am listening to the audiobook of a book that we will be talking about in a little while, in a couple of weeks, with a good friend of ours for an episode that is upcoming.
I was staring at her then like, what am I supposed to be reading? I remember.
If you're going to read it, I would it's a chunky boy.
I have already concluded that I do not have time to reread this book. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to skim it.
Yeah.
I'll read the beginning, read the middle, I'll read the end, you know?
How are you? So I...
20 pages.
Yeah, I was like, how are you even... That will give you no sense of plot because there is just so much going on.
I do have very good recollection.
I need some time
with the wiki page.
Yeah. So yes... Without giving any spoilers about our future
movements
and intentions, suffice to say, we're going to be talking about a very good, very long book with a relevant party. Say no more. But yeah, in terms of like paper books, I don't know what I'm going to read next. The world is my oyster. I guess we should, you know, decide what we're going to talk about next.
Well,
and then...
I think I know what we're going to do next time. I have one of them in my bag.
Oh, is it?
I do.
Okay, well, maybe we can, you know, end it here and you can tell me about that.
Oh, really? So when I wanted to go off record, I've had to wait all this time and now I can't even remember what I wanted to discuss.
It's
and
okay.
Conveniently, we're going to end the episode on this note, so we can go right into the information that you want.
I see. I can tell you what... I know what you wanted to know. I can still remember it.
Okay.
So that's what kind of friend I am. So thank you so much for joining us. We provide this to you without reading you any ads about mattresses or Squarespace or whatever. So in exchange, if you feel so moved, we would love it if you would leave us a glowing review on the podcast app of your choice, or just tell someone about how great what page are you on is. And also, semi-related, if you ever buy a book because we told you to, please tell us.
Yeah, just let us know.
We're just interested. We genuinely are interested. We won't be like, cool, thanks. Like, we are really interested in that. So, yeah, hit us up. Alice, where can you be found on the internet?
At Smoking Tofu, no G, on Instagram and Twitter.
I am at Bethany Rutter on Twitter and at Bethany _ Rutter on Instagram. We are what?
Page pod
on Twitter and Instagram.
Yep. And we also have an email address that you can email all of your thoughts and feelings to, which is whatpagepod@gmail.com.
Especially email us if your thoughts and feelings are that you would like to give us money. See you next time.
Bye. Bye.